Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Contact Floyd Water Plumbing, Drainage, floydwater.net.
It's hard when you're calling from one of your 27 rooms in your mansion. I'm sure he doesn't get Wi-Fi all the way there.
Oh, gosh. Let's go to my
I
man.
Assume that he's an entrepreneur mogul.
All right, let's bring in Law Murray, man. And look, I enjoy talking to guys like Law Murray, Evan Barnes, and because met these guys at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, and we're all at the bottom, right? We're just trying to find a way to get into the business or whatnot. And from afar, Law Murray's become Mr. Clipper. He's everything with the Clippers. Beat writer, LA, you know it, you name it, NBA stuff. He's always locked into it. And Law, I got to say, as we bring you in here to the Morning Roast, and good morning to you as we bring him in on the River Islands guest line, my man Joe Shasky here goes, I'm looking at the power rankings. And, you know, I don't read a lot of power rankings.
So
I'm not going to lie. And Shasky goes, I'm a sucker for power rankings. This guy named Law Murray wrote these power rankings. He has the Warriors at 4. And I start chugging, he goes, it's this journalist named Law. I was like, Law Murray? The Law? Oh, I know Law. And next thing you know, we make the call, we bring you out here. So Law, good morning to you, man. You're doing a hell of a job covering the clip.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for reading the power rankings. This is the first time in my life that I'm doing it. I feel you. I don't read them a whole lot either, but I'm reading them Johns now.
And you're a Philly guy. You're a Philly guy, as you just gave that away by saying John. And, of course, you have the Warriors at 4 in the early season, so you follow the NBA as well as anybody out there. What have you seen from the Warriors that make you put them in tier one of your power rankings?
Man, they win in games, like, straight up. It's a meritocracy for me. Like, I feel like a lot of people look at these power rankings and they immediately are going to the spring. It's like the NBA Finals is starting next week. I mean, the NBA Cup is starting next week. I know some teams are going to raise the banner for that, you know. But this ain't the same conversation. I just want to see who's playing well and who's not. Like, the teams that we had high expectations for last month, if they're falling short of those expectations, well, they need to earn their way back up, you know. And the teams that are exceeding those expectations by any measure, I'm gonna rank them positively. And hey, like, if things catch up to them, I'll see it in real time. That's why we do this every single week. And so it's been 8 games. Golden State's lost 1. I was in the building for the one they lost. Otherwise, they've alternated extreme blowouts with impressive performances, either because they beat a team like Boston last night or because they won shorthanded, which is not something they were great at last year when Steph missed games.
Yeah. What are you seeing specifically this year that maybe you didn't see last year? And I'll give you a second to think about it. Because, like, for example, I'm shocked with what I'm seeing from Buddy Hield. Now, maybe I wasn't paying attention prior, but he feels like a rejuvenated man. He's just one of many elements. But is there something that sticks out to you?
Well, I'll tell you about Buddy Hield, man. That dude is Mitch Richmond and reincarnated. So all the Sacramento, Golden State Connect people who've been around that area for a long time, y'all should start looking at Buddy Hield that way. I'm just saying. I mean, he ain't the scorer Mitch is, but from a shooting perspective, there's few you can hold a candle to Buddy. But I'm not surprised by Buddy. I'm shocked at how effective Golden State's defense has been, even with Steve Kerr rolling out all these dudes. Look, every year, and Steve will be the first to point this out, every year that the Golden State Warriors have meant something, it's because they defended at an elite level. They did not do that last year. They were inconsistent with that. Obviously, the year before, I think Chase Center should have earned Defensive Player of the Year votes because they defended really well there. And The defense did not travel at all 2 years ago. This year, they are, I think, only Oklahoma City is better defensively. And the big key is last year was arguably the weakest year that Golden State ever had when it came to forcing turnovers under Steve Kerr. And they have bounced back in a big way this year in that category. They are doing such a great job of causing havoc. And it's because of the personnel. Like, they play a bunch of active hands players. They've got some length, and they've got the intelligence. I mean, Seth Curry and Draymond Green have been around playing together under Steve Kerr for a decade. It shows on that end of the floor. When, like, there's not a lot of weak points on that. I mean, there are weak points on the defense. Like, I think that their rebounding on the defensive end is going to need to improve after a while. They can't be bottom 10 there if they have games or their turnovers do dry up defensively. But they're doing a great job, not just forcing turnovers, but Golden State, they have been some hacks the last few years. You've seen Steve Kerr get upset about the free throw differential. We saw it in the Lakers playoff series 2 years ago. They've been okay in that department, especially considering how often they force turnovers. That's been a shock to me. Not a shock, but it was terrible last year. And they have, shout out to Mike Dunleavy. He got guys, you know, that were going to improve that specific area of their defense. And you're not even seeing the Anthony Melton. He, hopefully my guy gets healthy. So in other words, they can still be not just better, but sustainable over the course of the season.
We're talking to Law Murray of The Athletic, NBA writer for The Athletic. Does a great job covering the league, the Clippers. He's here on the River Islands guest line on the morning roast. And I want to get back to Buddy for a second, because you're a Philly guy, like we just mentioned. You watch the league. What happened in Philadelphia, and what happened in Indiana? Because Indiana plays at this breakneck pace, up and down, up and down. You would think that Buddy would fit that system perfectly. Yet they flipped him at the deadline. He goes to Philadelphia, and he sees about 20 minutes a game, but then he doesn't play in the postseason, and he has that one quarter which he explodes. It doesn't really have an impact in that series against the New York Knicks. What were we missing about Buddy Hield, and what happened in Indiana and Philadelphia to where it didn't work out for Buddy?
I think Indiana just needed to reshuffle some pieces. You know, I mean, Buddy was a guy who was expiring, so they got some value back for Buddy. I don't think he played poorly in Indiana. You know, like, he was starting. He was someone that Rick Carlisle, a guy who's hard on guys, leaned on. You know, I think that if they would have been able to keep Buddy, that would have been nice. But you see Indiana right now. They have so many dudes. Unfortunately, they're down backup centers, but they got so many dudes to play, man. And so I just think Indiana was like, hey, we got a guy in a contract year. Let's get an asset back. Let's not lose him for nothing. And in Philadelphia, honestly, I feel like Buddy would have been better if he would have been able to play with Joel Embiid more in the regular season. I thought Buddy was good for them there. He was a shooter that team needed. Like, the Sixers lacked shooting. But, you know, things get out of whack when your big piece, your star, comes back at such a tight window, a critical time. Like, Joel Embiid didn't get back last year until April, you know, as far as, like, the middle of the year when Buddy got to the Sixers. And so Nick Nurse's rotations were kind of a mess in the playoffs last year. And the guy who was affected was Buddy Hield, a guy who was probably on his way out anyway. We all knew who Philly was looking forward to bringing in, you know, on the wing. And so all that benefits the Golden State Warriors. Again, like, Buddy hasn't gotten a chance to play for a team that plays both at the pace that the Warriors do, but also they move the basketball. Like, the Golden State Warriors are not an ISO team. They're not a heavy pick-and-roll team. And so Buddy Hield is a guy who was going to fit really well offensively. The question was going to be, how well does he fit defensively? Buddy's got some really good hands. Like, he hasn't always played in defenses that encourage that kind of defense, but Buddy fits on both ends of the floor for them, and that's going to be huge for Steve Kerr, because he knows that no matter what they ask Buddy to do, he's going to fit, and him coming off the bench is cheating. You know, Buddy's a guy who is used to starting games. You know, he started a lot of games in Indiana. He didn't start that much in Philly, but Buddy's in a role. And I think when guys know what their role is, even if they know, hey, I'm coming off the bench every night, cool. You know, they're given a better chance of being consistent. And you're getting the best version of Buddy Hield right now.
You know, whenever you give an opinion, there's always pushback from the well actually crowd, as I call it, the know-it-alls. I'm just shocked that there are certain dynasties or just organizations that are coming out of a dynasty. We will give them the benefit of the doubt until their superstar player is no longer playing. I think of New England, right? Like New England, every year, it's New England, you know, the Patriots. You know, just as long as Brady and Belichick are there. Why have Steve Kerr and Steph Curry not been granted the benefit of the doubt from the naysayers? Because it feels like at every turn, people have been trying to close the casket shut on Steph Curry. And I think he's in the middle of the greatest post-35 run for a guard ever.
I'll give the naysayers a little bit of credit. Golden State's had, before this year, 1 year to really be happy about since Kevin Durant left in 2019 and Chase Center opened. And that first year Chase was terrible. So, yeah. You know, when you look at one good year out of five, I think people were like, yeah, like no one's saying that Steph isn't great or isn't impactful, but we are saying that the Golden State Warriors have, you know, their dynasty post KD is one good year and three pretty mid years and one terrible year. This is the kind of season they're off to the kind of start that makes people be like, all right, look, they have been inconsistent, thoroughly inconsistent three out of the last 4 years, but because they're capable of something like 2022, you got to fear them. I think that also, I don't really care about the naysayers too much. Y'all shouldn't either. For one, y'all franchise has won, championships up there. And for two, I see a lot of national TV games for a team that was 10th in the West last year. Whoever don't believe in the Warriors, there's a lot of people who want the Warriors to be really good because they're going to be parking that national TV table across the scorers table damn near every week. So whatever the naysayers are saying, the brand is still strong, in my opinion, and if anything, the Warriors are doing their part to actually play to it.
No doubt. Law Murray, thanks for the time today, brother. We'll see you. You'll be back up here Monday, November 18th, right? Or no, excuse me, the Warriors are going down there to Intuit Dome. They're going down to go see the wall of that new beautiful dome that Steve Ballmer's built. The Clippers will come back to the Bay Area. It's going to be a while before they come back up here.
Last game of the season.
Is it the last game of the season? Yep. Yeah, wow. April 13th. They'll come back up here to Chase Center for a 12:30 game. But I'll try to get down there into a dome, man. That place looks beautiful. Law, thanks so much for the time continued best success at The Athletic, brother. Proud of you.
Hey, thank you so much, Vontae. Proud of you too, man. Have a good one.
You too. And you got a new fan, Law. You got a new fan, Shasky. Knows who you are.
You're power ranked in my contender mode for journalists covering the NBA right now.
Law Murray, man, bringing in the heat. He said a lot, man. He said a lot there. What's your big takeaway from Law?
The Buddy Hield thing is not some...
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.